Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This is your official spoiler warning. We're going to spoil the piss out of a couple things coming up shortly. So if you don't want to know who died in The Walking Dead, then I want to turn this one off for a couple minutes. But first of all, Randy, Justin, how the hell are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Fabulous.
I'm doing better than Glenn.
Oh,
fuck that guy.
Burn.
And Abraham.
And the Abes.
Yeah, so I guess we'll jump right into The Walking Dead. I actually watched this first episode I've watched in like 4 seasons because I knew it was going to be such a big deal and I wanted to see what the hell was happening. And I liked a lot of it. I didn't like some of it. So you guys are more Walking Dead fans, so it probably was a little more impactful to you. Why don't we start with you, Justin? What were your overall thoughts, and were you happy with the resolution after such a long cliffhanger?
Yeah, I guess so. It was hard for me to enjoy the episode. It was weird because there were a couple of things that were just off-putting to me, and it wasn't even so much as the violence. I know there's a lot of backlash on the violence of the episode, like just because it was more humans getting tortured as opposed to zombies just getting murdered. You know, it explored this crazy humane factor, which we haven't really been dealing with in a long time. Like, Negan is just so brutal that it didn't sit well with a lot of folks. And
yeah,
you got to remember,
they didn't just go down like little sack of potatoes like they normally would.
Yeah. And so some people were complaining that he went too far and whatever. For me, that wasn't the case. For me, I'm such a shallow person, guys, that like things that were bothering me was Rick shaking like a cold chihuahua for like an hour. I hated that. And I actually watched it as it was airing, and there were 10,000 commercials. Even if you watched it on, like you record it on your DVR, I bet you $100 you were fast forwarding the whole goddamn time because it was nothing but commercial breaks. And I hated Rick's performance, and I hated Carl's hair. There's the moment when they were holding him down, like Rick was supposed to chop off Carl's arm, or the entire team was gonna die. All I cared about was Carl's hair and how much I hated it. Like, that's how shallow I was in this episode. I wasn't able to take it seriously at all, and I kind of feel bad about that. I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and everyone's, like, sad, and, oh, I'll never move on from this. This is terrible. And I'm like, fuck Carl, and fuck Rick, and it was bad. That was my big takeaway. I thought they got the proper send-off, you know. I wasn't expecting two people to die. I thought we were just going to get Abraham, and to me, I didn't think that was significant enough. He's a great character, but I don't think he's done enough to win me over to where I was permanently scarred. Does that make sense?
Like, 100%.
Like, he's a good guy. He's done a lot for the team, but I wasn't really invested in his character. So I thought it was kind of a weak sell, and then, you know, what, 2 minutes later, Glenn gets the old whack-whack, so...
Yeah. Well, you're not a big fan of gingers either, though.
Ooh, are you kidding? You can double-fist the ginger. But yeah, and I liked how they did the eye all big, like, from the comic. And I like how he was trying to speak, like, in the comic. He was like, you know, how he yells, Maggie! In the comic, so... That was kind of cool.
I'll find you.
Yeah. But now, if I have to deal with... This is the last thing I want to add. Sorry, Randy. If I got to deal with an upset Maggie for the entire season, that's going to bother me. I would rather they just kill her off too, so I don't have to deal with her loss for too long. That'll take me out of the show.
At least it looks like she's pissed, and like she's not like mopey like, oh, the world is over. It looks like she wants to like, I want to go and like make this guy pay.
Right, like I'll grieve later. I want to fix this now, and I'll deal with my grief later. I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. But, I mean, Negan's not going anywhere. He's going to be around for the long haul.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. What about you, Randy? What did you think of the episode?
Well, I know you're familiar with the concept of edging, right?
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, that's like That's like getting yourself or someone else very close to sexual climax, but not quite taking it over that ridge, just leaving it there to just kind of fester. That's what the first 20 or so minutes of the episode felt like to me. It's like, so here we are, we've been waiting all this time, and you could start right where we left off and go right into it, but no, you've got to drag it out. And you've literally got to see like a death blow to every single character. You notice, and I had heard somewhere along the line that they had actually shot death scenes for all the characters, so even the crew didn't know who was going to be the one, so they couldn't spoil it on the internet or anything, because they shot death scenes for everybody. So you saw quick little flashes of pretty much everybody getting a bat to the head. But it was just, it felt like a long lead up before we finally got the Abraham kill. And I agree with you guys. I felt like that was pretty, like, insignificant. You know, I don't think people are emotionally attached enough to him to really, to justify all this hype and all this waiting that we've done since last season. So, but they kept hinting at it, like, hinting that Glenn was going to go too. I mean, everybody pretty much assumed that was going to be a given just because that's pretty much how it went down in the comics. But, like whenever Rick was flashing back to what actually happened, one of the very first faces you would see every time was always Glenn. And I think that was almost to kind of trick the audience into, is now going to be when it happens? It's like it's the whole Hot Tub Time Machine thing with Crispin Glover. Is now the time? Is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen now? You know it's going to happen. You're just like building to this moment. So that was kind of how it felt for me. The way it was done was pretty nice. I mean, now I don't have the mind of obviously Negan's mind of leading through fear, intimidation, and flat out murder, but I'm wondering what the wisdom of killing Glenn for Daryl's indiscretion was. You know, Daryl was the one that lashed out and attacked him. Why not just kill him? I know from a showrunner point of view, he's too popular. You can't kill off the man candy in the show. I get that. But to me, I would have taken him down right there without a single, you know, without any pomp and circumstance. Just say, that's what happens when you try to stand up to the man.
I think he saw Daryl as the guy who could, like, the fighter. Like, that he might have a use for Daryl.
I could see that. And I know he kind of sees all of these survivors as assets. Like, you're going to go out. He's a pimp. There's prostitutes. You're going to go out. You're going to make my money. Bitch better have my money. That's his whole thing.
And he knows Daryl's his number two, and so that's why he kind of has that leverage now. Like, I'll kill your boy if you fuck me over.
Does he know that? Because he was trying to suss out who was his right-hand man, you know?
It does make sense that he takes down the biggest dude. Like, Abraham is clearly the biggest man.
Sure, I get
group.
That. Yeah.
And I do think it was kind of interesting how after they killed Abraham, everyone, not that they had a sigh of relief, but I think they were kind of like, oh, I'm glad that was over. Like, Glenn totally wasn't expecting to get whacked on the head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. I know, like, just the way people are, you know, Glenn has a family on the way. So I bet you that he was like, oh, I'm glad it wasn't me. You know, everyone has something to lose. And I was a little crazy when it took it up another notch.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that. Were you done, Randy? Or
oh yeah, yeah. By all means, go for it.
Yeah, no, I thought that. I thought it was a pretty good misdirect to kill Abraham first. I just wish, like we had been saying, that it instantly comes on. We see the end of the meeny miny mo, and then like with minute one, he offs Abraham, and so everything is taken care of. We have our death. We know what happens. And then the rest of the episode play out almost like it did, to where a lot of it's told through flashbacks, or, you know, we're following Rick and we don't know what else happened. And then I think it should have ended with the Glenn death. Like, that should have been the last thing. Like, we should have had, I'll find you, beats him to bloody pulp. We get a close up of Rick's face, just furious or shivering or crying like a little bitch. And that's how the episode ends. Because I think with that separation, we wouldn't have saw the Glenn, it would have meant more, and it would have been the lasting image. It's kind of like in that Game of Thrones episode where they like burned Shireen at the stake, like halfway through the episode. to where the rest of the episode was kind of tinted because you were trying to deal with these emotions that are normally like end of episode emotions that you have like a week to digest, to where we didn't really have time to like process what had just happened. Like, you know, the Glenn is, you know, Glenn's dead, you know, Maggie now has to, if she has the baby, it's going to be on her own. What's happening to Maggie, this and that. And I just think that from a pacing standpoint and from a show standpoint, it was kind of a missed opportunity on both ends. Everyone's complaining the front half of the show, the episode was kind of boring, and the back half of the episode was just kind of rushed, to where I think it would have fixed all of their problems and it would have been more compelling storytelling in my estimation. And I think that's why the episode didn't really ring true to me. I thought Negan was a fucking insane, awesome, everything that I wanted from Negan. Like, he was easily the best part of the show, and I hope he stays on for a while. I don't know if I'll watch episode two because I stopped watching Walking Dead, but he made me almost want to watch the show. What did you think of Negan, Randy? Was he everything he was promised to be?
Absolutely. Just the sadistic glee with which he did everything, whether it's actually murdering people with his own hands or, just in the most delightfully disturbing way, corrupting Rick's mind, bending him to his will to the point where he was ready to cut off his own son's arm. I believed every second of it. I absolutely love that guy's performance.
Glenn, we hardly knew you. Actually, that's not true. We knew you for 7 seasons, and you'll be missed. Maybe you can join the galaxy far, far away, like our good buddy Donald Glover did when he joined the untitled Han Solo standalone film as a young Lando Calrissian, a move that filled me with so much delight that I cannot describe. But Randy, let us know what you think. I like that sigh.
No. I'm stoked. Number one, confirmation that we're getting Lando in the young Han Solo movie. How badass is that? Amazing. Awesome. I want to see the Sabacc game. I want to actually see the Millennium Falcon change hands from Lando to Han.
Like he gives him the keys?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just like slides the keys on the table. You're out of money. Well, I got this instead.
Yeah,
playing for pinks.
Exactly.
I'm out of credits, but I got this ship.
It's great. I mean, so there's so many story possibilities when you get these two together. I adore Donald Glover. I think he's an amazing comedic actor. I know he's done serious work, but I've never seen it. So I'm curious to see how he's going to handle a role as iconic as this. And I know it's something that he himself has kind of been lobbying for and has wanted, but probably was never expecting to actually have happen. Because to be honest, I would totally think they'd go for somebody less well-known, just like their choice for Han Solo. You know, somebody who isn't, a household name. Not necessarily that Donald Glover is, but, I mean, he's got a big fan base and a lot of people know who he is. So it just catches me off guard that they're going with somebody a little bit more high profile than I would have thought. But I am super stoked. I think he's probably going to nail it. And I am just excited at the prospect of seeing a young Lando next to a young Han and Chewie.
It'll feel nice. What do you think, Justin? We're gonna see the stash? They're gonna have a stash on Donald Glover?
I think so. That's a quick fix.
Are we gonna see the cape?
No, I don't know if he has that sort of stature yet. I think he wears the cape because he's the big shot.
Yeah.
At the city. Like that's like, hey, I'm coming through, almost like a count. You know, like I own this town. And I don't know if he'll rock the cape right away.
I hope he rocks the cape, but I see what you're talking. I see what you mean, Justin. But yeah,
I like the smuggler outfit in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
I feel like that's one of those moments, like with the where's my super suit? Like I'm going into battle. These are my old digs. Like even in Tombstone. When Wyatt Earp has to get involved. He's been trying so hard not to get involved. But when he does, he goes and gets, you know, the old gun that he used to have and never fire. You know what I mean? And to me, that suits him. So I hope we get the old smuggler outfit.
Suit up!
Like, in fact, I think it would be even cooler if it was the same outfit that he wore in Return of the Jedi.
That would be cool. Are you guys watching Atlanta at all? That's Donald Glover's current show on FX.
I don't
Atlanta.
Negative, no.
I don't watch shows, Dave. I read books.
No. Mm. I don't think that's true.
I couldn't even tell you the last book.
I watch books and I read shows.
Yeah.
I think,
turn on that SAP function.
I think Abraham Lincoln versus the Vampire book was the last one I read. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, I think that was literally the last book I read. And that was in 2012.
It's not. That's a good one.
I read it on a plane. It was quick read. It was so good that I chose never to read again. Nothing could top it.
Yeah, it was the best book ever read. After that point, they just burned all books.
Yep.
Well, going from Uncle George's most iconic franchise to the redheaded stepchild of the Lucasfilm world, Randy, Indy 5. What's George Lucas going to do in this film? He's going to have a big part in it, right?
I'm pretty sure he's going to be sitting back in his recliner at home, wondering what might have been had he not sold his beloved franchise to the quote-unquote white slavers.
Oh, shit.
to bring up that old quote.
Wipe his tears with $100 bills.
Yeah, exactly. In a nutshell, he's not doing a goddamn thing on Indy 5, apparently. We were all under the impression that he was going to be at least coming in for the kind of honorary title of executive producer, which typically doesn't always do a hell of a lot in an actual movie other than just kind of lend their name to the credits. But not even so much as that. So what was announced this week was the screenwriter, who was also the screenwriter for Indy 4, but we shouldn't necessarily hold that against him because he was pretty much adhering to the story that Lucas wanted to tell, and Spielberg was just going along for the ride, directing it, not really having a whole lot of say over the larger overarching story, from my understanding. So we've heard a little tidbits here and there. One of the big bits being that Shia LaBeouf is not supposed to be coming back. Or if he is, it's going to be like mentioned and written off very quickly. But my understanding is he's not going to be back at all. So that's kind of cool. A little bit more of a traditional return to form, hopefully. But that's really all we know about the story. But we know that they actually are moving forward with it. What do you guys think?
So basically, Lucas will get a character by story credit.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing. He was a driving force and the visionary of that franchise.
I agree.
what do you think about that, Justin? Do you think do you think George Lucas wants this movie to fail now? He's like, "Oh, you guys blame Crystal Skull on me. Let's see how you do without me."
No, I think he's bigger than that, both in size and in heart. I would think that because it is something that he started, that he would want it to be successful.
Right. No Mutt, though, Randy, you don't think?
I don't think so. That's the word that I'm hearing. I don't know. I don't know if the sources I'm hearing it from are any kind of reputable, or maybe it's just like wishful thinking. If I say it out loud enough, it'll actually come true. I don't know, but okay. So apparently, in the original script for Indy 4, and I don't know if this is Saucerman from Mars or if this was an earlier incarnation of what ultimately ended up becoming Crystal Skull, but there is a whole scene between Marion and Willie. And you can tell they knew about each other. They knew of Indy's past with them, and they were not fond of one another. And they had kind of a fun little tete-a-tete. I would have loved to have seen more characters from previous Indy adventures that we're aware of have come together. If nothing else, at least for the wedding scene at the end. I would have loved to have seen Short Round, Sala, any of his female conquests that didn't fall in a deep, dark chasm while trying to get the Holy Grail. You know, any of them that are still alive. You know, I would have loved to have seen more people, more familiar people from Indy's past come out of the woodwork. Even, hell, maybe even some characters from Young Indiana Jones. You know, just something to kind of help tie it all together. Something to kind of make us even more nostalgic than we already were. If we could get Sala back for this one, I don't know what kind of role we would be able to do, because he's John Rhys-Davies, love him as much as I do. He's getting a little long in the tooth for an action-adventure kind of movie. I mean, so is Harrison Ford, but at least he's, you know, keeping himself in decent shape. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Who would you like to see as a sidekick? You want to see something new and different?
I would love the idea of Sala. I mean, he's one of those ones that's always been the hey, what do you call it? Like, when you say, I know a guy, he's the guy that you would know. A man that can get things. So I think that there is plenty of room for his character in Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? When you think about it, he's due. Because he was in the first, the third, and now, if we're going to keep rules of, you know, even odd, he's going to be in the fifth.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And we're going to basically just be retelling Raiders of the Lost Ark, just like what Last Crusade was.
He's like the Cousin Eddie of Indiana Jones.
I'll go with that, sure.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. I would not mind Sala either. I'm with Justin on that one.
Yeah. More, I mean, Sala, I love Sala. I love Sala. I would love to see him.
You said no camels.
That's five camels. Can't you count?
And I think the thing with Mutt is it's not so much the character, it's the actor that plays him that people have a problem with.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things to consider, where Shia LaBeouf is his own worst enemy. And he says and does things that people don't approve of, and find him just plain old obnoxious.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of toxic.
Yeah. So, I mean, rewind a little bit, and maybe if it was a different actor in that role, the audience might be a little bit more forgiving in seeing another movie with Mutt in it.
Yeah, you can see that.
Food for thought.
I like it. So, Justin, tell me what the hell's happened with Deadpool 2. Tim Miller, who directed the first Deadpool, was doing such a great job, and now he's out? What?
Yeah, isn't that a shame? The studio decided to side with Ryan Reynolds in this argument, that of creative differences. Mr. Miller wanted to go sort of a different route and expand on the Deadpool franchise and go a more artistic route, maybe make a few changes, make it a more of a classy movie, we could say, and Ryan Reynolds said, fuck that shit, I want to stick with the formula that we have, the old raunchy bit. It did really well the first time, and I think we should stick to it. While I could see the pros and cons to both sides, I do kind of side with Mr. Miller on this one. I do think it's important to capture the magic that was the first one, but still expand and sort of broaden your horizons with a sequel. Sequels are always bigger. They're not always better, but they're always bigger. And given that Deadpool made $1 trillion off of a $5 budget, and, you know, both of them are very passionate about this project, that I think I might have sided with the director on this one. You don't have to make a lot of changes, but, you know, maybe there were some things that you wanted to do in the first one that you couldn't do due to budget restraints or time or whatever. Now's the time to tap into that. And obviously we don't know what the real argument was, but based on the information that we were given, it's just one of those ones. You guys are both filmmakers. You know, you could have the coulda, woulda, shoulda arguments with yourself all day long. And if I could do it again, maybe I would do this. And maybe that's the conversation that Mr. Miller was having with himself as well. I don't know.
Hard to say. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Deadpool, like we were talking earlier, is a comedy. And, like, the worst thing you can do for a comedy is just do the exact same thing again. You know, take most comedy sequels. I know we talked about Anchorman and Zoolander. They had the added deficit of being released so far after their original, but you know, take like a Clerks 2 or, you know, really any comedy that tries to do the exact same thing. The only exception I can think of is 22 Jump Street, and only because they make a joke about everyone in the movies telling them they just have to do the exact same thing again. That's what you have to do to complete the case and stuff like that. But I love the idea that Tim Miller wanted to do something slightly different. I'm sure he wasn't going to do anything crazy, like all of a sudden Deadpool's like a classical dancer. Mm-hmm. But it would have been great to have seen, you know, a little more growth to where hearing those kind of comments about creative differences and the Ryan Reynolds wants more of the same just makes me think they're going to do the same movie with just more explosions, more X-Men, you know, and that's, it'll be fun. I'm sure I'll enjoy it, but we'll always be thinking like, hey, I wonder what we would have got if Tim Miller had stuck around.
Mm-hmm. I hate those conversations.
We have them every week.
What?
What about you, Rando? I said we have those conversations every week.
Oh, I know, I know. I know, I know. But I mean, with Ant-Man, with Edgar Wright, it was like, ooh, what would that version have been like?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Randy. Go for it.
No. It's cool. I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm kind of bummed that he's leaving because I have to imagine between the writing, the directing, and Ryan Reynolds being the force that he was to help get the first one made, being able to keep that kind of unit all intact for a second one would have seemed like a good idea, especially how passionate they were. And seeing that kind of fall apart, that almost gives me a little bit of reason for concern for the second one. David, I hear what you're saying, that you don't want to go with the exact same formula if you're going for a comedy, but I felt this was like more than just a comedy, and the same formula could help. But at the same time, I, as a filmmaker, and I'm sure you feel the same way, you don't want to get stuck with one. You don't want to get pigeonholed as a type of guy who makes one type of movie. You want your art to grow. You want it to change. You maybe want to explore a different aspect to a character to make other people realize that, you know what, this character isn't as two-dimensional as everybody thinks. I can see that. So I don't know. As the great Tommy Lee Jones said in the role of Two-Face in Justin's favorite movie, I'm of two minds of the situation.
I've never hated you more than I hate you now.
I took the long road to get to that quote, but damn, it paid off. It was worth it.
It definitely was worth it. I applaud you for your fortitude.
That's a word I only hear when I play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh yeah, you should play more. It's fun.
I can honestly say I've never played.
Missing out. I think the Jared is doing like an online thing.
You know, is he really?
Yeah, he was doing. There was some kind of convention that was doing some kind of online game, and he was trying to get people to play.
Oh my god, that's so
nerdy. Via the Skype machine.
So nerdy. I've been playing a game called Smash Up. Have you ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
It's like a tabletop game, and you combine all kinds of fun things together. Like, I was Ninja Dinosaurs, and it's like a card game, and it's a blast. And you have these bases, and each thing has points, and you try and get the base to pop. You know, it's like 15 points or 20 points or whatever, and then you want to get to 15 as quickly as possible. And each base is worth anywhere from, like, whatever, 3 to 1 point, and you pop bases to win to get to 15. And it is so much fun. Smash Up. Check it out.
Brought to you by Geek Legacy.
Yeah.
Drink Coke. Speaking of amazing things, what about that Logan trailer, Justin, that you loved and everyone loved, but most people loved?
Yeah, it's great.
What did you love about it?
I like the music. I will never complain about Johnny Cash. And the tone, this is so weird to say because it's one of those bittersweet kind of movies where this is going to be our send-off for Wolverine. You know, Hugh Jackman, who's been playing Wolverine since the year 2000, and he's been in a lot of X-Men movies. And while the tone is really sad and grim, at the same time, having X-23 in there, it has a glimmer of hope. And I can't help but have this sort of, like, sad but happy feeling at the same time just watching the trailer. I don't know, it's weird. The only concern that I really have is the villain. Is it going to be another weak villain that we always get with comic book movies, or is it just going to be one badass movie from start to finish?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Randy, what do you think?
Looks freaking amazing, and if the whole movie can live up to kind of the tone, the dreary, dark feeling like something big is coming to an end feel that the trailer has, if that's translated into the full movie, I think it's going to be pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember it will be rated R.
Yes, yeah, which is great. And I just can't get over how old Patrick Stewart looks.
Yeah, no makeup.
Yeah, he's got that, like, that, like, the cloth over his face, like a Island of Dr. Moreau thing. He's got the sunglasses. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love the idea of X-23, Wolverine, and Professor X, like, sitting around that dinner table, like, just kind of having almost like a Last Supper type thing. Because I have to imagine that Wolverine and or Professor X, this will probably be the end for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be sad because they have had such a long road. You know, this will be Hugh Jackman's 9th time playing Wolverine, and I just can't imagine another Wolverine, anyone else playing this character that he's just made so iconic. And I think it'll be sad because we know it's goodbye, and that they'll kill him off. And I think it'll be sadder than we think once it happens.
Did you watch the Red Band trailer by chance?
I did not.
It's pretty cool.
was it Red Band or was it just international?
I saw an international one.
It might have just been in where it ends with like the spikes going to the guy's head.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that was so cool. Oh man. You know, I do wish the dinner table scene was like ordinary people. Like with maybe Professor X at the head of the table and then Logan on the right, like the wife, and then X-23 on the left, like the kid. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's a deep pull, Ordinary People. I like it.
Or American Beauty, which was an homage to Ordinary People, but whatever. It's a fun scene. But
yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, well, real quick, do you think this will be his last turn as Logan? I mean, the X-Men franchise has been very fluid with their timelines. You know, they could easily set a film prior to Old Man Logan's story. Do you think sometime down the road we'll see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine again, Randy?
I'm going to go with the never say never. always quoting the movies. No, I think there's a possibility, especially if it's just a small little cameo. Let's say 2-3 years down the line, Hugh Jackman's feeling a little bit nostalgic for his old role, kind of wishing he had it back. And of course, no one else is going to take up the mantle between now and then. At least I hope not. And maybe just the right picture comes along where there's some sort of time bending something or other, or something where a cameo is just absolutely appropriate. We'll consider the little cameo that we got in the last X-Men movie. You know, he was in it for just a split second, pretty much. Something like that. I could see that happening again, yes.
What do you think, Ryan? What do you think, Justin?
I think that given the success of Spider-Man coming over to the Avengers side of things, that I would not put it off the table that at some point in some crazy mega battle, Wolverine pops up to help save the day.
Oh, that'd be awesome, like in a big old Avengers, like Infinity War 2 style uh-huh. battle.
Yep.
That'd be pretty cool. Like, you think it's over, and all of a sudden you see the claws. Just go,
yeah. Like, I don't think so, bub. Or something like that. And the whole crowd, like, if they were just to keep it the best, like, the best kept secret on the internet after, like, the Red Wedding, and no one knew, and then everyone just peeing all over the goddamn place in the movie theater, I think that would be incredible.
That gets me really excited, Justin. I hope that happens. Like, if they could keep that under wraps, and you could go into the theater not expecting it, and then fucking Wolverine shows up in an Avengers movie with, like, Iron Man and fucking Captain America and shit, that would be pretty awesome. I would ejaculate all over the seat in front of me. I'd be so excited.
Yeah, ejaculate.
More excited, as excited as Randy was with the first Guardians, but probably not as excited as Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer. What were you thinking of that trailer, Justin? A little teaser?
You know, what's funny is I kind of forgot what happened. I had to watch it again. Yeah. I feel bad about that. No, I can't wait. I loved Guardians. That was one of my favorite movies the year that it came out. And I know a lot of people, that's their go-to. Like, when they just need something playing, it's Guardians. So, more raccoons will be great. Yondo's back. We like the Yondo. And yeah, I can't wait, man. Baby Groot's adorable. Little jacket. It reminds me of like doll clothes they sell on like fucking QVC or some shit. It's weird.
Yeah, and all the descriptions out of the Comic-Con footage that they showed was Baby Groot just kicking ass, like being like this like fast little like ninja, just darting from place to place so fast you couldn't barely even see him. So I'm pretty excited. I think Baby Groot's gonna steal the show.
Will he be back to his normal self by the end of the movie, you think?
I don't think so. I think we'll maybe see. I think he'll get bigger. I think maybe he'll get like rocket size by the end of the movie, maybe. But I don't know how fast Groots grow. I mean, eventually they're gonna want to get him back to, you know, being the Bruiser. I think they'll use one movie to keep him cute, like just for like, oh, look at that, and then the third movie he'll be like full back to I am Groot. What do you think about that, Randy? I know you love the first Guardians. Are you more excited? Are you more excited now that you've seen footage from the second Guardians than you were for the first film?
Actually, yeah, it looks pretty cute. I mean, the whole thing just looks fun. So I don't really dislike the first one as much as my persona may lead people on to believe on this show. but I still have only seen it once. But I really just like to poke you guys. Give you a hard time about it, but it looks fun. I'll see it. I'll definitely see it. I don't hate it yet.
Oh yeah, so. Ringing yeah. endorsement, Mr.
Yeah.
Bender. Ringing
yeah. endorsement. I don't hate it yet.
That should be the tagline for Guardians 2. I don't hate it yet, Randy Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm. Triumph of storytelling.
Then you can never leave it to live that down.
Oh, that'd be great. If only they posted like negative troll comments on movie posters.
They should. So eventually there's going to be like a comedy that's so terrible, like a Wayne's Brother Scary Movie 6 type deal.
I'm thinking like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they'll just put like the worst comments on there, like I wish I had diarrhea or something like that.
Like diarrhea for my eyes, you know.
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that, cuz when I watched some documentary. It was with Jamie Kennedy, and it was about hecklers.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Netflix.
It was really, really good. And there was this one part where they were talking about movies that Jamie Kennedy had done, and they were reading some of the reviews, and they were just so mean.
Because they were personal. They weren't about the movie. They were
yeah,
like,
they were attacking Jamie Kennedy.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so sad. I fucking hate people like that. In fact, when we started Geek Legacy, that was a rule. There were no personal attacks were allowed.
We mostly stuck to it.
Yeah, Carl's hair notwithstanding.
Maybe the occasional slip on Zack Snyder. And I do remember getting slightly personal with Peter Jackson during the Hobbit fiasco.
Right, but you are secretly in love with Zack Snyder, so it's okay. Like, you want to, like, murder him and wear his skin and be Zack Snyder for a day. Or until it goes bad.
So Zack Snyder recently joined Facebook, and I would like to thank the droves of people who have suggested me as a friend of Zack Snyder. I've gotten no less than, like, 10 people where it brings up, so-and-so has recommended you like Zack Snyder on Facebook. So I appreciate that. Feel free to keep sending those to me, guys.
Yeah.
I have fought that the whole time, but...
Don't fight it, Dave. Yeah. Give in.
Just embrace it.
Oh,
just
let it happen.
Yeah, the heckler movie I liked because it was like the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where they like go confront their hecklers, mm-hmm. to where he goes and like goes to some of these like internet blog people, and like they don't realize what he's there for, and they think he's there to like interview him about like online journalism or something, and then he just like combats them with their quotes, and they're just like, "Oh, yeah. I'm an asshole."
Exactly. Terrible.
He's like, do you think this is nice?
And he's probably a cool dude, too. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Everyone's so mean. Mean's kind of rough, man. He was in Scream. In fact, I identified with him. He worked at a video store, which I never did, but I know you did. But he knew movies. And I was like, oh, man, the kid that knows the movies. I like this guy.
And then he made it a 3, right?
2. He died in 2. He did have a part in 3. He had recorded a video.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. Well, let's just go through a couple of rapid fire topics, a little yay or nay. It seemed to work out the last couple episodes. I haven't heard any complaints from it. So first thing on the docket is Jessica Jones is next season 2. is going to utilize only female directors. So I'll go to you first, Justin. Is this a publicity stunt, or do you think this is a win for feminism or something else?
I think it's both. I think you need the publicity to get it out there. I don't think everybody pays attention to who directs episodes. I think we might be a part of a different crop of that crowd, just because we're always interested. Especially with Netflix, they like to bring in people. Robin Wright, right? She directs House of Cards. Fantastic director.
And David Fincher.
Yeah, so I mean, it's great. I like it. I think it's fantastic. And it'll give women something to add to their resume. Female directors they're out there, and they need to be given a chance. And I think this is an excellent opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely underrepresented in film and television. But do you think by doing this, Randy, they're not necessarily getting the best directors for the show, that maybe they're trying to pigeonhole all female directors and there may be more qualified male directors that would produce a better product, but it doesn't make for a good story?
I mean, you could look at it like that, but that's kind of the same argument as when you look at a quota system for, like, university admissions, that kind of thing. It's like, well, you know, because they have to let X number of whatever minority or whatever major in, it could be pushing out all these other really qualified people that could, you know, do more. So that might not be the right way to look at it. I think this is definitely, you could look at it as a big win for feminism. And honestly, I think it'll be fine. It is since it's obviously a very I don't want to say estrogen driven, but it's
a female superhero for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Strong woman.
I think, a female director is probably going to have a lot more insight. She can, you know, really help kind of, basically just kind of bring her own insight and experiences into the direction of the character of Jessica Jones herself. So personally, I think it's completely fine. I have zero problem with it whatsoever. I absolutely adored the first season. I'm sure I'm going to love the second season. Mm-hmm. So I'm completely cool with it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. You like the ladies. Well, so just for a point of reference, some of the directors for, nobody cares. That's okay. We'll skip it. There was a big name male director, you know, big names like Alan Thorne and stuff like that. People have directed like big episodes like Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, even episodes of Daredevil and stuff like that, who are established TV film directors. They won't be allowed into this crop because they want to have the story of all female directors. And I'm sure they'll find there's plenty of talented female directors. I'm not trying to insinuate that. I just think that whenever you cast the net to where you only want to use this kind of labor, that you ostracize a large portion. Like if they said they only wanted male people to direct House of Cards, like Justin had pointed out, Robin Wright has directed several episodes of House of Cards, and they're some of the best episodes. To where we wouldn't have those episodes because we only wanted men to direct this season.
So. Well, I think that the underlying difference is that it's a male-dominated industry, so that would just add fuel to the fire. In this case, it's a female hero-centric show, and it's a special show. And Netflix has really come into its own with its original programming, and I think that this is a perfect opportunity to really dive into that can of worms, to be honest with you.
I like it. All right. Yay or nay number two. Daisy Ridley talking about the Star Wars toy backlash for Force Awakens. Remember, they had those like 5 packs of toys, and instead of including her, they'd include like a random, I think it was a 6-pack, and they included a random like TIE pilot or some just generic figure. And
guy number six.
Yeah, I mean, you had your Finn, your Poe, and all Han Solo, Chewie, the important ones, but they didn't have the most important one, arguably, which was Rey. And so, speaking recently, Rey said that they will not be making that same mistake with Episode 8. So Randy, you're a toy guy, you're a Star Wars guy. Do you feel that Disney is finally ready to right the ship as far as female characters in their films? You know, it started with Black Widow, then Gamora, then Black Widow, then Rey. You know, none of these people are on my children's T-shirts, but they're all integral parts of their films.
Yeah, I mean, especially Well, I'm noticing it now with Rogue One that we seem to see a lot more Jyn merchandise, and we definitely see a lot more action figures depicting her on the store shelves already, and the movie's not even out yet. So I think they're already starting to write that ship. And I definitely think by the time we get to Episode 8, when we're returning back to a familiar character with Rey, they really need to step up their game. So I'm happy to hear that they're not going to be repeating that same mistake, and I think it's a good move. It gives little girls more of an option, you know. Who says Star Wars another, has to another use princess. Just for boys? Yeah,
exactly.
Sort of. I mean, without the royalty.
Right. Well, when I go to Target, I see a lot of Jyns because it doesn't look like they're moving off shelves. Does Disney almost have a point here, Justin? Are you seeing a lot of Jyns as peg warmers? I mean, Randy, you can chime in as well after Justin. I'm just curious. Sure.
I think it just has to do with the movie itself. I don't think people know what to do or expect with Rogue One. And it's still early. I mean, the movie wasn't coming out until Christmas, and the toys launched in September.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah.
And there's only like four figures. Right? It's yeah. a very small wave, so
yeah.
there's not a lot. Once you buy it, you're done. Like with Episode 3, and 1 and 2, for that matter, they launched with a billion fucking figures. You didn't even know what to do with yourself. You had to have an entire shopping cart if you wanted all of them. It's a lot of action, as opposed to 4.
Gotta get my Utapauian warrior. He's going to be a big character.
And exactly. And quite honestly, the toys look like shit, dude. This is an era that's reminding me of like the 90s, like early 90s shit toy era. Like, I am not impressed with any of these molds. I see just shit all over their faces. They're not spending the money that they should on making these toys look right, and they look dumb.
I think the sculpts are pretty good, but I don't like the big ridiculous accessories they come with that are in no way affiliated with the movie, whether it's a build-a-weapon gimmick like they did for The Force Awakens, or whether it's some gigantic weapon thing or jetpack thing.
Which is just like in the 90s, like where everything came with a big, dumb, stupid projectile launcher thingy.
Yeah, like Super Arctic Trooper Batman. When did he ever wear a white outfit that shoots a big yellow grappling hook out of his back, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it never happened. So, yeah, I absolutely see your frustration there, and I feel it. But I could talk at great length about the toys. So let's take a step back to last year's Force Friday, when all the toys for The Force Awakens was released. Not just Hasbro, but a lot of companies, they kind of – it was like a shotgun blast of toys. It wasn't really focused on any one scale, range, or product line. It was like, we're going to put out 50 different things and kind of see what's popular. And all the 3¾-inch action figures and all the 6-inch Black Series Hasbro stuff, all those, they got snapped up day one, and stores were empty through the point of the release of the movie and into the holidays. They didn't put out very much of those particular product lines because they were, but the shelves always looked full of other stuff because they had like the bullshit Hero Mashers and the Micro Machines that nobody really wanted and all these other lines that were clogging up shelf space, but weren't really as popular as the 3¾-inch or the 6-inch figures. Now, this year, they've reduced the number of different lines that they're putting out. They concentrated more on the 3¾-inch and the 6-inch, so that when this year's Rogue Friday happened and all the product launched, they had a lot more. And so that's why you still see stuff on the shelves where last year at this time you didn't, except for maybe Finn. Finn was always kind of hanging around because nobody really knew much about this guy, what he was going to be. But the moment the movie came out, all of his figures sold. Rey, you know, she just sold out from the beginning just because there weren't very many around to be had. And now I think you see as much as you do just because Jyn Erso is a unfamiliar character. Once the movie comes out, all her stuff is going to sell, as well as any of the other figures from this first wave, because they're all pretty cool. You got K2SO, the really badass Imperial droid. You've got Cassian Andor. I think he's in this first wave with his Hoth Han Solo kind of looking outfit. You got the super badass Stormtrooper, and David, I know you got this figure too, that you can put the little blast away chest plate on and put a pauldron on him and make him look like an officer. You've got a couple different characters that are really super cool in this wave, so there's really no reason why they should be hanging around. Other than the fact that anything out of this new movie, they just don't know. People don't know about it yet because it's still 2 months out till the movie's released. Or about a month and a half. So I say give it time. And the only reason it's still sitting on the shelves right now is because, like I said, they just put out more product at the launch than they did last year.
Yeah, if I can mirror what Justin was saying, couldn't be more disappointed in the art, especially the articulation on these figures. Yeah. Like, I think Episode 3 was kind of the peak of Star Wars toys. Like, I have several hundred Star Wars Episode 3 clones. And, you know, they had a couple different clones. They had the number 6 clone, which was kind of like the rapid-fire clone that, like, shot his arms up, looked like he was jacking off if he didn't have a gun. And they had the number 41 clone that was, like, the super articulated clone. And that's probably the best trooper figure they've had every wave that's come out, I usually don't buy a lot of the figures, but I'll buy the troopers so I can, you know, add to my army and stuff like that. I bought a couple of the stormtroopers from Rogue One. They display amazing. They're super shiny. They look cool. But if I were a kid, they're like dog shit. Like, they have their 5 points. They have the waist, like where the legs hit the waist. They have where their shoulders are, and they have their head. They don't have
shoulder and head. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have elbows. They don't have knees. And it's just bullshit.
Well, yeah, they can't hold their weapon in any kind of realistic way other than slack to their side. Like, they're kind of just standing at ease, you know? But that's the same way we had it when we were kids. In fact, those stormtroopers have one more point of articulation than our childhood stormtroopers ever did, because the head was molded to the goddamn body.
Right, but in between, we had troopers that had 21 points of articulation.
Oh, I get it. I get it. But just
we've digressed, and they've gone up in price.
They've absolutely gone up in price, and
they've gotten more expensive, and they've gotten less good.
I don't know. The sculpt on that stormtrooper is amazing. So I'm not going to say you can don't attack the sculpt. I think the sculpt is fine.
Oh no, I'm not attacking the sculpt at all. Like I said, it displays brilliantly. Like, it looks great on my shelf. But if my kids want to play with it, it's like
it's a two rat.
Exactly.
It's because it's
cheaper to make. I understand.
Not only that, but this is actually directly from Hasbro. The 3 3/4 inch line is now geared more towards kids, so kids aren't necessarily as discerning, like the younger crowd I'm talking about. So the 5 points of articulation, it doesn't seem to be as big a deal, as now Hasbro is focusing their more collector-oriented line as being the 6 inch line.
But we do
still have some hope when it comes to super articulated 3 3/4 inch in the Walmart 3 3/4 inch Black Series exclusives. It's unfortunate that they're only available at Walmart, and they are only released in waves of 3 or 4 at a time.
And they're $14.
I know they're crazy expensive, but at least they're really nice, though.
I mean, yeah, they're nice, but the
First Order Stormtrooper, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, you know, the best Rogue One figure I got was Kylo Ren. He's not in this fucking movie.
Yeah. Did you get the 6 inch or the...
I got the 3 3/4 inch, and he looks amazing. Like, yeah. I have him displayed, and I have him next to my Phasma and my Force Awakens troopers, and he looks just badass. But I even opened my Black Series Death Trooper, the 6 inch figure, and...
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. I kind of expected more out of it for the price point. Like, articulation-wise and moldability and sculpt, it's great. I was kind of disappointed that it only came with, like, one small rifle and, like, one small pistol and one long rifle. I thought it, for, you know, the 20 bucks, it should have came with, you know, a couple other things. But I guess we've turned the podcast into a toy talk, which is fine with me. I like toys. But, all right, we'll fast forward to the
rapid fire.
Joss Whedon wants to make a Star Wars movie. What kind of movie should he make in the Star Wars universe, Justin?
Sand people movie.
Sand people.
That's what I want. I want them all to be like hot Amazon women in the desert, and they got to wrap up, and then they take off their mask, and they're not creatures. They're beautiful women's.
Oh. Turn the slow music
and
on.
And they all get murdered by fucking Anakin. It's the story from their point of view, where some crazy madman is coming. They were trying to nurse some old woman back to health, but she was acting crazy, so they had to chain her up for her own good. She was delirious from the heat. She was exhausted and seeing things, so they restrained her. And then Anakin comes in and just starts cutting them down. And due to a language barrier, they just couldn't explain their side of the story.
All right. Randy, same question.
I'll make mine a lot more direct. He's basically said that he doesn't want to do anything that's part of the Star Wars, so the main Star Wars saga, so any spinoff will do. I don't think it has to necessarily be as obscure as a Sand Person movie.
But you'd see that.
I would certainly see that. You know what I'd really like? Let's have him do the Obi-Wan movies.
Ooh. But Obi-Wan's a man, and he likes women.
So. I know. But Obi-Wan would either need a girlfriend or some sort of sassy female sidekick.
Mm. Like Ahsoka.
Or, ooh, that'd be pretty badass, too. Or maybe the villain, whoever it is that he's fighting, or whatever adversary he might be facing, could be like a really kind of badass female character. I think that's something he could sink his teeth into. Because, I mean, when you look at it, his work on the Avengers, that kind of thing, that's, although it's got badass females in it, it's not female lead, you know, it's not like Buffy. So when he's working on somebody else's properties, like Star Wars, he could have to deal with a male lead.
Can I ask a question about the Rogue One there?
Sure.
There's no way. What's the main girl's name? Jin?
Jin Erso?
Jin.
There's no way she's really an Imperial being undercover trying to sabotage the rebellion, right?
Like I would love it if she is. She's really Mara Jade.
That'd be pretty badass.
I mean, yeah, I don't then think she wouldn't be a hero. She would be a bad guy. She would be a hero to the Empire, but not to the audience, per se.
Well, the Empire is the established government. These rebels are just terrorists.
They are terrorists, yeah. I mean,
really, she'd be the good guy.
That would be kind of cool, but that's not the case, right? That would be crazy. No. That's absurd.
No.
They wouldn't do that. I think that would be a great film. Like, all of a sudden, like, at the very end, she's like, fuck you, Mara Jade.
Yeah.
Purple lightsaber now.
Oh, shit.
I would be down for that, but yeah, I can't imagine a scenario where that happens.
Yeah.
But I like it.
There's a novel that is coming out.
What, like a book? What are you, nuts? A
book. Yeah. Read a book.
R-E-A-D-A-B-O-O-K. Love it.
Speed stick. It's not expensive. Anyway, there's a book that's coming out that details Jyn Erso's father, Galen, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen in the movie. Mm-hmm. It kind of follows his involvement in the construction of the Death Star, because apparently he has developed the technology that goes into the super laser. And it's all about how director Krennic from Rogue One and he... They're either friends or they come from the same background. They have some sort of previous knowledge of one another. And it's all about how he kind of, I don't want to say seduces him, but kind of under false pretenses brings him into the Empire to like, let's use this technology. Let's expand on this and let's kind of do a little bit more research, all under the guise of, we're going to use this power for good. And then, of course, they develop their turbo laser to blow up planets with it. But in this book, Jin is just a baby. So it's really kind of the adventures of her father and his whole involvement in the Imperial construction of the Death Star. So it's kind of interesting. That's going to hit just before the movie. So if you want a little bit of extra background, because it does involve characters like director Krennic, and it does take place just after episode 3. Yeah. It should be interesting to kind of fill in some gaps. So there was a sample chapter released I don't remember what magazine hosted it, but I read it online. And it actually sounds pretty good. I recommend tracking it down if you can.
Yeah, it's called Catalyst.
There
and,
you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes place right after episode 3, and it's going to involve Palpatine sourcing Krennic before he becomes, you know, the big Grand Pumbaa that he is, to work on the super laser. And Krennic actually saves the chapter that was released. Krennic goes and saves Galen and his wife Lyra and Jin, and from like a separatist like cell that's going to kill them. And Galen decides to help Krennic because he feels indebted to Krennic. And
but they have some sort of background though together.
Yeah, they're old friends. Yeah, they're old friends. They knew each other pre-war, and Erso feels like he's indebted to Krennic for saving him and his family, and I'm sure it will all go sideways quickly, but at the end of this chapter, it was like, I'm going to help my buddy do this thing. Like, it was all copacetic at this point, you know. Judging by the trailers we've seen, that it does not remain amicable for long. As written by James Luceno, who's a big Star Wars author, usually they tasked him to write like the final novels in like large series. Like, he wrote the final New Jedi Order book, he wrote the final Jedi Legacy book, and he's kind of like the let's wrap this shit up, guys. That's kind of his deal. Books, check them out. Hmm. Anything else, guys?
Well, yeah, actually, I have a quick little semi shout out kind of thing. So today, as we record this, a music video would just drop today that I shot and directed and did all the visual effects for. It's for the band Songhammer, who did a couple songs for the Nonstop Comic-Con soundtrack and did the Bloodsucker Jones theme song. The song is called Legion, and it is kind of celebrating the World of Warcraft expansion Legion. It's a lot of fun, a lot of visual effects, a lot of CG, and some pretty badass metal music. So I highly recommend you go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Songhammer Legion and check out the video. It's going to be pretty much the best 4 minutes and 20 seconds of your week.
How come they just want to call it Die?
There is a lot of Die in the video. That's what makes it metal. Just chanting Die.
Awesome. Chicken A.O. What about you, Dustin? Anything you got?
No, but congratulations, Randy. That is super exciting. You have made your way into the music biz.
I'm stoked. It's got around 20,000 views so far on Facebook, and it's only been up for 14 hours. So wow. That's cool.
That's awesome. And Pixelated Podcast is back. We had to take a short break. I was sick. He was sick. He was busy. Whatever. But we are back. Last week, the Nintendo Switch was announced, and we went into detail on why we love it and hate it and all these things. Also, Red Dead Redemption 2 was revealed, so we talk about that. You know how we love the Red Deads. If it's not Kojima, it's the Red Dead or the GTA. So we just jizz all over the microphone on last week's show. It's fantastic, so check it out.
Awesome. And then make sure you check out the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network, the Comic Corner Podcast with Jeff and Tyler, talking about those funny books with the colorful pictures and how rad they are, and sometimes how terrible they are. So, yeah, make sure you follow us on Facebook, like us on Instagram and Twitter at Geek Legacy, or maybe it's the other way around, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Later, guys.
Bye.